Good morning, Highway.
Good morning.
I told a few of the prayer warriors this morning that how many of you know it's okay to be vulnerable with other people? I told a few of the prayer mamas this morning, I said, God has to take over because how I feel this morning, I just felt very low emotionally. How many of you get like that sometimes? But God picks us up, breathes His power into us, and allows us to keep going. Well, Lord, I just thank You, Father, for this day. For, Lord, this is the day that You have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We join the saints around the world to worship You. We thank You, Father, for, Lord, You are a holy God, and there's none like You. I put every plan of the enemy on notice. Every demon that would try and distract God's people, I send you out the door. I speak a spirit of attentiveness in this house. That whatever comes from the very throne room of God shall seep into every person's heart and penetrate their bone and marrow. And Lord, we just give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we had the camp finale, and that was just wonderful to see that many people here. We have a community out there that needs Jesus. We have a community out there that needs what Sarah and the team provide. The next generation doesn't have much to look to anymore. But if we provide them with the love of God, they'll say, well, if this is what church is and this is what God is, then I want it. Amen. Let me not get too ahead of myself. We're continuing in our series of letters to the Ephesians. And I get the utmost joy and pleasure to talk about walk in purity. Walk in purity. It is a very heavy topic because it talks about us and as individuals. It's all good to talk about our neighbor and about their life, but then when we have to examine how ourselves are walking, then that's a problem. Because we don't like to get real with ourselves. But church, let me tell you, we do not have enough time to not get real with ourselves. If you did not know already, and if you have not read the news, we are closer to the end than we were yesterday. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he doesn't ask, he doesn't gently nudge. No, he urges them to live a pure life before God. Urges them. And you want to know what the nice thing about it is? Is he outlines what needs to be done and keeps it very, very simple. But it seems like the simpler it gets, the harder it is for us to understand. And you're wondering, why did you come to church for this? You're going to get something out of it. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, and I'm sorry I'm not reading out of a Bible. Those of you who are old school, my apologies. My wife made me bring the wrong version. It's the only time I can throw my wife under the bus, praise God. All right, so Ephesians 4, 17 to 24, say amen if you have it. Oh, there we go. Either that or you're humoring me. The Bible says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in their futility and in their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, They have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We will stop there. What is putting on the new self? Well, it's basically becoming a child of God. Some of you may say, "Preacher, what is being a child of God?" Well, let me explain to you. The ones that are saved here know that we serve a living God. And there was a man named Jesus 2,000 years ago who came via the prophecies of the prophets of old. They prophesied his birth thousands of years before it even happened. And it was so that you and I could be in right standing with God. When the first original sin happened, that was with Adam and Eve, sin separated them from God. And there was a great divide between man and God, because before then, God was walking with man. And God was communing with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. But when that moment of that sin happened, that was no longer. Doesn't mean God didn't speak with man. It just meant that man needed a savior. And then 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. He lived preaching the word of his Father to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you don't know Jesus this morning, do not leave this door until you know Jesus. It will revolutionize and change your life, I can guarantee you. It's changed my life personally. It's changed all our lives personally, those who are saved. And it can change your life too if you allow it. You don't have to walk alone in your walk anymore. The Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. We also put on our new self by walking out this journey according to his word and guidance through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will sometimes, you know, we go and we do something and, you know, somebody cuts us off and we're like, "Oh, boom." The Holy Spirit says, "Was that necessary? Was that necessary?" The Holy Spirit is not meant to be a joy kill or a kill joy. Because the Bible says in God there's fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. What the Holy Spirit's job is, it's to guide, it's to convict, and it's to correct. So when you hear that little voice inside of you, it's not to, you know, stomp on your parade. No, it's to say, "Okay, you're going to the wide road now, which leads to destruction. It's time to get back on that narrow road. It's tough, but you know what? The Bible says there's a mansion of glory waiting for you if you follow that straight and narrow road." Living a life pleasing to God means physically doing, and spiritually, doing a 180 from what we did prior to salvation. It's a little quiet in here. Let me say that again. So you're walking your life, and you know you're you know walking life on your own, and then you're like, okay, Jesus, I need you. So you leave that old life behind, and then you walk into the newness of life that Christ gives you. When Paul is talking about putting on the new life, he's not just talking about salvation. He's talking about walking your Christian walk in full godliness and holiness according to the precepts of Almighty God. We're going to do Ephesians 4:25 to Ephesians 5:7. Strap on your seat belts. This is going to be a ride. Okay. Let me open up my water just in case I need to take a sip. It's good. It's good to come to church, isn't it? That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Ephesians 4:25, 5-7. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Notice how it says, don't get angry. It says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Chapter 5. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. But among you there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. The second thing we must do is we must put off all falsehood and immorality. The Apostle Paul, in that long chapter, makes it very clear, makes a list, but the list is not limited to just these three things. He's just making a point. Sexual immorality, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. The fruit of the Spirit must be evident in our lives every single day. The Bible says that you will know that they are Christians by their love. And that list that Paul mentions in chapter 5 says not one of those people have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. He didn't say they might not have an inheritance. They said they will not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Paul also talks about ways to walk as a believer in Christ. There are four ways. He has four walks that he talks about. He talks about walk not as Gentiles, walk in love, walk as children of light, and walk carefully. And I'm going to break all those down for you so you understand what he's talking about. I'm going to repeat some of the verses here, but bear with me. Ephesians 4, 17 to 24 says, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in their futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ, you were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupt by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." When Paul mentions the terms Gentiles, he's actually referring to the unbeliever. Because at that time it was commonplace that only the Jew was acceptable to accept the word of God. It wasn't until the early church where the Gentiles started to hear the word of God. So when he talks about Gentiles, he's not just talking about, you know, people who aren't Jewish. He's talking about folks who aren't saved. Paul also mentions that Gentiles have lost all sensitivity and have indulged in every kind of impurity and are full of greed. Basically, before Christ, you're just living your own selfish desires. That's what it means. It means when you're walking alone without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the sealed blood of Christ over your soul, you're walking in pure sin. I don't think I can make it any clearer than that. When Paul mentions greed, he doesn't necessarily mean possessions. He's talking about a heart issue of greed. You could say, oh, well, you know, I need to get all this money, or no, I need to get all this power, all this status. It's not just material. The material greed, it's the heart issue of greed. We also need to watch what comes out of our mouths if we want to show the unbeliever how Christians should act. We should watch what comes out of this to show the unbeliever how a Christian should act. I'll get to that in a moment, don't you worry. Now I'm going to talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. And this was the part that I dreaded to speak on, but must be covered. It must be covered in order for us to fully understand and fully grasp what the Word of God is talking about. It's found in Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Preacher, what's the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go through an introduction of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a person. A lot of times we hear folks say the Holy Spirit. I like to say Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit is a person, which means that he has feelings. He has feelings. Because the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So that means the Holy Spirit has feelings. And he is also part of the Godhead, which means he is part of the Trinity, the triune God. I always explain the Trinity like this. You go back in Genesis, what does it say there? Let us make man in our image. I always say, who was speaking there? If it was just God, he would say, let I make man in my image. No. It said, let us make man in our image. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all present at the beginning of time. As I said, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? That's one thing I had to ask myself. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, one of the ways is unrepented sin living in unrepented sin and willingly knowing that you're in unrepented sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're willingly knowing that you're living in unrepented sin. That, my friends, is grieving the Holy Spirit. And the worst possible case imaginable is you live in unrepented sin, and then it's your time to breathe your last breath, and you're standing before God. What excuse are you going to give this time? A lot of us in the church need to get back on track before it's too late. Highway is at a crossroads in its history. There's a move of God that wants to happen in this house. But I'm going to tell you this, it will not happen if there's deceit coming from the house, from inside. What happened when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost? They were all in one accord. We need to be in one accord as a body of believers. And if I see or hear you sowing any seed of deceit within this house, I will approach you in love. Don't you worry. Because I will not have it. I refuse. Hear me very clearly. I believe God should have moved a while ago. But there's been things that we have allowed that has been acceptable. It is not acceptable. We need to come before the cross of Calvary and say, God, here I am. If it's in me, cleanse me. I believe there's a mighty move of God that's going to happen. But until we get on our knees and soak the carpet with hot tears of repentance, it ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. This house should be a house of love. People should come here that are prostitutes and broken and kneel at the foot of the cross. And we should be huddling around them, hugging them, and crying with them. Not talking bad about them behind their back. Are we better? No, we're not. Because the Bible says we were all sinners saved by grace. Sorry if it sounds harsh, but it's the word of Almighty God. Take it up with Him. We have to drop the gossiping. We have to drop the backbiting. And we just need to start showing love to one another and to our community. The word of God is clear. And the worst that could ever be is that you know you're gossiping, you know you're in deceit, but you're sitting there, hands lifted, speaking in tongues, thinking nothing is the problem. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. For I stand at the door and knock, the Bible says. I'm giving a warning to you. You do not have enough time to play around with your Christianity. What excuse are you going to give when that prison door is slammed shut and there's no way to go but the throne room of God? And you're there saying, well, why did you say this? Why did you do that? No, there's no excuse you can give. Repent now, because the time is now. You are not guaranteed to live outside of those doors. I say this because I love you. I don't say it because I'm judging. Because I know a lot of people here and I know a lot of your stories. And I know a lot of you have prayed for me and my family personally. But I say this because I love this house. We need to get on our faces before God, folks, because the time is now for the Spirit of God to move in a new and a fresh way across this country. And it will move whether we're ready or not. So either you get on this Holy Ghost train or it's going to pass your station. And quite frankly, I'm not going to let it pass by my station. I'm going to get right on, because on that train, there's miracles, signs and wonders, deliverance. There's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Robo Shianda. Calm down, Will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Here's a friendly reminder for you. You see your brother and your sister beside you? You know that person you don't like in church? Well, let me give you a friendly reminder. If you are a blood-bought saint of God, and it is your time to die, Bible said is appointed unto man once to die. So therefore, if your brother or sister that you don't like is a Christian, and you're a Christian, guess what? You're going to heaven together. And I know a lot of you pray, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. Why not practice living in harmony now while you still can and you have time? Because guess what? You'll be living with them for eternity. And let me remind you, that is a very, very long time. We're almost done here. Ephesians 5, 1 to 6. I'm going to be reading it again because there's some other parts in there that need to be touched on. Okay. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person in an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. The next walk Paul talks about is walking in love. We must walk in love with every person we come in contact with. Because you don't know their backstory and they don't know yours. We could fill this house week after week if we just start loving people. The Bible says we must love one another because love comes from God, which is found in 1 John. Christ shows us what the ultimate example of what love is, and that he went to the cross for you and for I to show us the ultimate sacrifice, which is to purchase us with his life and his blood out of the pit of hell so that we could spend an eternity with God and in the new city for many, many, many years to come. Ephesians 5, 7 to 14. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is what it is said: wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Walk as children of the light. Our light is contagious to other people. Those of you who have been here on Christmas Eve, when we have our Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we have either Pastor Dan or Pastor Paul leading the service, and how they light their candle. And then you can see the light just growing and how it illuminates the whole sanctuary. That's what the light of God is inside of us and should be. Is that every person we come in contact with should just feel that light. And even a lightness in their spirit. Because the Bible says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light, Jesus says. Our light also should not only help others see what sin is in their own life, but also to convict us when we need to ask for forgiveness ourselves. Paul says that our light exposes sin around us. But our light should also expose the sin that's inside of us. We must never, and I'll repeat this, never become too advanced in our walk to come to the cross of Jesus for his cleansing power to flow over our life. I don't care how long you've been a Christian for. We are never too advanced to come to the foot of the cross, say, Lord, I screwed up. Lord, I messed up. Cleanse me now with your cleansing power. Wash me clean. Give me a new slate. I turn, I do a 180 from sin. and I walk in that direction you've called me to. As Paul says, to finish the race. To finish the race. Our light will be the difference in an already dark and lonely world. You got to treasure your light. Treasure your light. It will come in handy. There will be times where you're in situations where you just need to share that light with those around you. I know when I was in the hospital and on one day there was mass chaos on the floor, my wife and I, we prayed and it was like a peace that flowed. Your light can flow to others and permeate every area where there's darkness, where there's confusion, where there's chaos. There is peace with the light of God. There is peace with the light of God. How many of you go in front of a campfire and that campfire is going and you feel like you want to sleep right when that campfire is going? Because there's warmth, there's heat, but there's also peace. Just knowing that you're comfortable and you're surrounded. We need to know that warmth and that peace today. And today, if you don't know that warmth and that peace, please, don't leave this service without knowing Jesus. It's not going to hurt a bit. Mind you, you're going to feel better afterwards. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We also have to walk carefully. We're in the last days where the enemy is going to try and push us off track. You know, that sin is appealing, very appealing. But God brings fullness of joy. Trust me, sin can be very, very appealing. That person cutting in front of you, you just want to give them what's due to them. Just say, Lord, give them their portion. But no, you just got to bless them. Because with God, there's fullness of joy. Has life been easy? No, it hasn't. It has not been easy. But it's been easy because I know a living God. And it's not easy living a life of holiness, a life of purity. But it is easy because Jesus sticks closer to you. And when you're in relationship with somebody, like, you want to do things that please them. You want to do things that make them happy. You want to do things that make their heart beat. You want to know what just makes them so full of joy. Especially if you're married. You want to know what makes your partner sing with happiness. It's the same thing with God. You want to know what pleases Him. What pleases Him is having a relationship with you. There's two things I want to do before we close the service. One of them I'm about to do now. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. This is a holy, holy moment, and I cannot stress this enough. You may be saying to yourself, well, preacher, this is all fine and good. Yeah, you're talking about this Jesus, but my life is so full of sin, I don't know if He can forgive me. Well, brother, well, sister, let me tell you, Jesus can forgive any type of sin that you've ever done and have ever committed. He's that person that when you're in the courtroom of heaven, he will advocate on your behalf and say, no, God, that one belongs to me. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Christ says, I've come that you will have life and have it more abundantly. With every head bowed, every eye closed, at the sound of my voice, you say, preacher, I need to know this Jesus. I'm at the end of myself. I don't know really what way to turn. But you're talking about this person that sticks closer than a brother, that loves me unconditionally. If that's you today, you say, preacher, I need to know Jesus. I want you to lift your hand all over this room so I can see it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may have gone to church for years, and that doesn't mean that you're a Christian. Have you asked Jesus to become Lord of your life? I won't drag this out. I'll give you one more opportunity. You say, preacher, that's me. I need to know Jesus. I want you to lift your hand so I can see it all over this room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All over this room, we're going to pray this very simple prayer. And those of you that have raised your hands, I want you to see Pastor Paul at the end of the service. Just to let us know that you've made that commitment to Jesus. Because we want to know. We want to celebrate with you. For that decision you're about to make, the angels are rejoicing in heaven over your life. For the devil does not have any more stronghold over your life. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I believe on the third day you rose again. I believe you're Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I am your child. I no longer belong to the enemy, but I belong to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The last thing, I want everyone to stand, please. I'm not prolonging this out because I'm conscious of the time. But while I was preaching, I know I've had a hard few weeks, and some of you may have had a hard few weeks. And you may be running on empty spiritually. If that's you, just lift your hands to heaven. If you just say, Lord, I've been running on empty spiritually. I just need a filling of your power. Just lift your hands to heaven. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome to move right now in this place. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. I pray, Father, for a fresh fire to move from the front of from the pulpit down to the back. I just say, Lord, fill every person with your glory. Baptize every person with your fire. Fill every person with a fresh baptism of fire this morning. Fill every person. Just receive what the Holy Ghost has for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do not to look to the left or to the right, but look to me, saith the Lord. For I have seen what you've gone through in the midnight hour. For I have seen the turmoil that you've gone through. Do not think that my eyes have not seen and my arms are too short. Cry out to me, saith the Lord, and I will pull you out of that pit. I will pull you out of that pit. And I will set you up on Mount Zion. For you have been in the pit for too long. For it's time for your peak moment, saith the Lord. I don't know who that was for, but it's for somebody in this house. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this day. Oh, Lord, this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Now, Lord, let it go from our brains down to our hearts. Let it penetrate both bone and marrow. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise. And all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen.
God bless you. Thank you.